Alrighty, we are out doing another episode of Trail Talk. This time we have the privilege of being out with Crystal from Sand Hollow 4x4. Is that right? Sand Hollow 4x4 or is it Sand Hollow 4x4 Tours?
Sand Hollow 4x4.
All right.
Cool. Yeah, got it.
We're out obviously communicating through Cardo. We're tracking this all on Onyx. You can follow along. We'll drop the links in the bottom. Crystal, thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
Want to tell me a little bit about how you guys got out here, how you got into this, and what you do? Let's start there.
This is hilarious. Man, where do I even start, to be honest with you? I'll give a quick backstory. We started Wheeling Moab. TJ started Wheeling Moab when he was in diapers, Moab. We have family out there, and then we started having a lot of friends come out with us and want to wheel with us. And basically, people are like, gosh, you guys should start doing this as like a guide business. And all this was way back in the day when we started doing that. And then people were like, no, really, you should. And so we're like, okay, well, cool. We also went out to Five Mile Pass and started like showing people like some of the tricks and stuff of the trade, or like how to drive better and like how to save yourself, because we also do off-road instruction classes and stuff like that. But long story short, we were sitting in bed one night, me and TJ, just looking on Zillow, and it was literally a joke. And I told my husband, I'm like, dude, we lived in Sandy, so it was like this big joke, like, hey, I wonder. And you know, we'd already been in our last house for 12 years. We were gonna live and die in that house. Like that was gonna be our last place. And just sitting in bed one night, and we're like, well, grandma's house sold in Moab. We can't go do guided tours down there. But then I started researching it a little bit, and she's just like, well, what about like Sand Hollow? And I was like, dude, that's crazy. Like, what are you thinking? And we're like, well, everybody's told us like we do a good job like showing people around, and we should do this as a business. And I'm like, TJ, I'm pretty sure we're sitting on a diamond in a rough. Like, and he's like, no way, whatever. And this was back in 2022, when the market was amazing, right? Like, you could sell your house in like 5 seconds, basically. I mean, really, it took like a couple days, but
yeah, it was just insane at that point.
Right. We sold, so funny thing, we sold our house in 5 days for 4 times what it was worth, and basically uprooted my entire family to come down here and do this. This was, I wanted TJ to do what he wanted to do. And that's my business partner, AKA my husband. And he actually does glass for a real job on the side right now until things kind of pick up for us. So we get down here, and actually before we sold our home, the one thing we did is we did our homework. Like, everybody's like, just do your homework. Make sure like this is going to work out. And so of course we did our homework. I'm like, hey, how long is it going to take to get, you know, basically get all of our permits going and all the insurance? And I call and they're like, hey, a couple weeks tops. And I'm like, maybe a month. I'm like, cool. All right. Well, hey, we got this. Let's go down there. There's far and few between amount of guides down there, and they're not saturated like in Moab. The other reason we weren't going to do it in Moab is because there was too many guides, and it was just saturated, and they weren't giving out any more guide permits, basically. And so that's why we came down here, because we were kind of the first of its kind, and it wasn't a big deal. So of course we sell our house for 4 times what it was worth, found a house down here, and there was basically no inventory, if you guys remember back in 2022.
Oh yeah, I bought a house down here in 2022. I bought an unseen patch of dirt with hopes that a house would be on it.
That's crazy. So we're kind of in the same bucket that way. So, you know, we bought a home and we came down here, and TJ stayed up in Salt Lake to hold down the fort. I mean, you know, he did glass. So we had our own glass business up there and ran it successfully for many years. And we were turning people away for glass. And so this kind of goes to back to the backstory of like why this was kind of so difficult for us, because we got down here thinking we were going to get that permit in a month. Oh, sorry. In a month. And it just didn't
come through.
Yeah, it just didn't come through. So
I'm going to pause you real quick just to say, we are actually running double Sammy, as we always do. We're always doing this on trail. TJ's with us. He's in the Jeep in front of us. If you're watching the video, he's in the chopped Cherokee. That's just really sweet. I'm sorry. I'm just a fanboy. just to say that if you hear, you know, some communication between us and him, it's because he's in this group and he's just not on the recording channel. So that's all. Anyway, sorry. So you guys had a successful glass business, and it's probably really hard to say, you know, I've got this thing, it's going, it's working. If you're turning away customers, you're already
right.
Like, you're established. And then you're like, right. I'm going to go take a jump and do this new thing.
Yeah. It was totally a leap of faith with some homework that we did, right?
Yeah.
So we basically get, we get down here, we move in. TJ's still in Salt Lake. I lived out here for about, by myself, kind of held down the fort with my other kid. We have two boys, and the one still lives up in Salt Lake. But we get down here and find out that they're like, no, like those permits are now a year out, and they've put a cease and hold on those. And we're like, me and TJ kind of looked at each other. We're like, oh man, like, what are we going to do? Like, we put a cease and hold on our dreams up here.
What was the difference there? Like, cause you said you had done your homework. Were you just talking to two different departments? Is that like, how did you end up going from, oh yeah, it'll be a month, to guess right. what? We don't even know if it's happening.
Yeah. So this is crazy. So when we were down there, we had talked to somebody, you know, about a month prior. Right.
Okay.
And so then when we finally closed on the house, it wasn't even that long before I got moved in, and all of a sudden, the BLM and them had put a cease on any additional permits.
Oh, so it was an actual change in policy, not just like, oh, we got bad information on one hand.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Absolutely. So I feel like anything that could have happened at that point kind of happened for us, or didn't happen, I guess. And so it made it difficult. But so TJ, our old glass business, he did commercial glass business up there, but then later decided to just do shower doors. And again, he was turning people away. So we're like, well, he can just move down here. We can do shower doors and, you know, we'll be fine. He doesn't have to get a job. He doesn't have to answer to anybody. Like, it's booming out here. So it's not a big deal.
Yep.
Well, long story short, we get out here and everybody's loyal to somebody. So nobody wanted to take a chance on him to see how his work was. And so he basically needed to stay up to Salt Lake until he could get a job down here. And it's hard because, I mean, we were used to making, I mean, dang good money. Like, we brought in dang good money up there. And I don't want to get too much into financial stuff, but I mean, when you half your salary to come down here and work for another glass company, and now you're answering to somebody, it's just way different. Because he needed to get a job, eventually move down here, or he probably wouldn't be down here still. And so that leads me to my next thing. Basically, so I'm like, well, TJ, what if we just get like, so let me explain. So on this mountain, we're on Double Sammy right now. We're basically on something called like state trust lands of Utah, which is considered SITLA property. So there's basically, I think, two different kinds of land. Don't quote me on this. There's SITLA and BLM. And I think there's some private land variances we had to get as well. And SITLA was the one piece of property we could actually get and not wait a year to get the permit. And so I went out and I did it. Well, state trust lands permits, it only took me about a month to get the permit, but state trust lands permits are definitely like probably triple the amount to get those. And so,
oh really?
Oh, totally. SITLA is definitely more expensive to get the permits.
Is state trust land, is that what's considered, what, when people say BLM? Is that what that's considered?
No. So Bureau of Land Management is different. State trust lands are actually dedicated to like education and stuff like that.
Okay,
so
that's right.
It's, you know, the state has bought that land basically, kind of geared towards education. And it was kind of nice because I told my husband, we also, like I said, I'm jumping around here, but we basically do also offer instruction classes. I told my husband, and I was like, well, we need to go find some property to do our off-road instruction classes, and so be it. If we've got to do classes for a minute on state trust lands to make a little extra money to kind of be able to afford stuff down here, because we were also, you know, trying to make it. When we bought our home, in the sense of we've got a casita on it. Yep. And that was another whole thing.
Oh yeah, no, I trust me, I know all about the Dixie Springs casita rental fiasco that went down. For those that are listening, they live in an amazing place where it's really close access to the trails and stuff. Because of that, it's highly popular for like Airbnb, for rental, for stuff like that. And they've had, in the past couple of years, I only know this because we were looking to buy there, they've had some back and forth over what you can and can't do with, you know, nightly rental stuff. Sorry to jump in, but I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You're totally right. So when we actually bought this house, again, there was just not much on the inventory. We bought this house, we're like, dude, I'm like, babe, this has a casita, like we can rent it. It'll help pay our mortgage, we'll be good. So in the midst of this, I was trying to get permits for Sitla so we could do the off-road instruction classes. And then we started this casita. I'm like, everybody's like, yeah, like the casitas are so popular, you'll stay rented. Like it's not gonna be a big deal. Well, little did I know, when you get on Airbnb, things don't go quickly. Like you have to get a certain amount of reviews. You have to be a super host. So we weren't getting any bookings at first. I'm like, what am I doing wrong here? Like we need this to make our mortgage. Like, as we all know, back in, you know, back then, 2022, was there not only just not that much inventory, there was also interest rates were still low, but not super great, right?
Yeah.
So we still needed that income to pay our mortgage. And we thought we weren't going to have a problem because he was going to be doing shower doors. And I was going to do the casita and work on getting Sand Hollow 4x4 up and going, basically. Yeah. So little did I know, it wasn't going to rent. It didn't rent for a whole year. And so we had to figure out what we were going to do. And so I'm like, okay, well, in the meantime, TJ's like, well, let's go find some property to do our classes. Well, I found a piece of Sitla property. Actually, believe it or not, this is hilarious because we do our off-road instruction classes. We do our off-road instruction classes. And they're beginner to intermediate to an advanced. Like we teach people how to, you know, do the basics and all the way how to avoid a rollover in their own vehicle. And so...
Okay, hold on. Let's get back to you buying the property, but...
Yeah.
Or maybe go through that, and then let's circle back to, like, what do those look like? Because I'd be interested to come out to one of those for my own reasons anyways.
Oh, okay.
But let's circle back to that in a second. Let's not lose that.
Okay, awesome. So we basically... I go run around. He's at work with... He worked for Jones Paint and Glass for a while.
Okay.
And so I finally find a piece of property, believe it or not, over by like a buggy trail. Believe it or not, crap you not, like it's broken chain. Like, and TJ's like, how do you
why do you have to get, so I'm not understanding, why do you have to purchase a piece of property for Sitla for this? Oh. Or what's your thought process behind that?
So we didn't purchase a piece of property.
Oh, sorry.
You're good. So basically what we did is we went up there. I had to send hundreds and thousands, hundreds of thousands of coordinates over to Sitla to say, hey, this is how we're going to use this property.
Okay.
And we want to use it for educational purposes. And we're like, we love that because this is what this property is really used for. Sitla's state trust land education property. That's why they buy it. And so they were really excited to have us on that property. So basically we have a piece of property that we utilize and we don't use our own rigs when we teach people. Like, we're up on a course. People are going around in a circle. I'm jumping in and out of their vehicles. And TJ is guiding them. We're teaching them on the mountain, basically. We're definitely not, like, follow the person in front of you kind of class. That's not how
we roll. If you just stay on my line, you'll make it, I promise.
Right. And we don't believe in that because everybody's vehicle is different. Everybody's wheelbase is different. Everybody's build is different. People have different lifts, different tires. Some have lockers, some don't. So,
yeah, I can attest to that totally because this is my first time on Double Sammy in a Jeep. I don't know if you knew that or not. And riding in Jeeps it's totally fine. I'm comfortable with it. But the height factor for where you sit versus in a Razor like myself is always something that I'm like a little bit like, oh man, I'm sitting a foot and a half to 2 feet taller than where I usually am on something like this. And so it's like this, everything's different. And if you don't think that it's like, oh, well, it's all the same, even the same wheelbase, same track width, it doesn't matter. It feels different in different vehicles for sure.
It's so different. It's really seriously so different.
I'm feeling it right now.
We are here to teach people on how to be safe out here and still have fun, still get an adrenaline rush, but not ruin their huge investment.
Right.
And, you know, there's too many rollovers. There's too many people that get hurt. There's too many people that get life-flighted off this mountain. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of it's a lack of knowledge.
Yep.
And so we want to create more knowledge out there. We want to be those people that people can come to and go, hey, I have a question, and not feel like they're going to get haggled, you know, with a weird answer. You know what I mean? Or some kind of not so great mean yeah. answer. And so that's why we started that. So I'm like, told TJ, I'm like, hey, I found a piece of property. Come look at it. What do you think? He's like, this is great. And so basically we started doing our classes to make extra money. And that's what we did, you know, to kind of pay for that. Well, even put a dent in the amount that we paid for the SITLA permit. But, you know, with that permit comes, you know, you also have to have liability insurance. And it's a 1/3 million aggregate, which means that you have to have that type of insurance to come out here and basically get, sorry.
Real good. This is actually last time I ran Double Sammy too. This is where we also stopped. And this is just a technical part of the trail where it's like talking is maybe less preferred to actually paying attention to the trail and wheeling.
Yeah, totally. So I apologize, guys. I also have the sun in my eyes at the moment, so I'm going to just kind of do the best that I can with this. I kind of just block it with my hand and then try and go up here. So 1 second.
It's so tall. There's like a 6-foot gap out my window. I don't know if that's coming through on the audio, but we are spinning tires. Oh, there it goes. Got some bite. Nice.
Yeah, nice, right? So that one can kind of be a little bit weird. I apologize, guys, for the gap in the conversations here.
No worries.
That's quite the obstacle right there. You got to be a little bit careful. It's just, sorry, remind me where we were at.
We were talking about you got the permits and the insurance was one slash 3 million.
Yeah. So the insurance to be up on this mountain, basically is a 1/3 mil aggregate.
Okay.
And in order to do that, you know, we're a high risk business. I mean, we're guiding people up some of these obstacles. No one else does what we do up here. We can guide people on a 1-9 rated or 1-8 rated trail.
Is there is there per your insurance or something, what's setting that upper and lower bound for your trail rating?
You know, it's just our capabilities as guides that we out here and we can guide up to those amounts because we know these trails. And TJ and I, like I said, that goes back to this, like, because he's been wheeling since he was in diapers, his dad has been also wheeling since he was in diapers. I married into this when I was like 20 years old. Now what, 45, 46? I don't even know anymore. I've lost count. But it's just, you know, we've been out here doing this for so long now, you know, wheeling in that sense that you know, he knows people's vehicles. Like he knows how to guide because he's been guiding for so long, just friends.
Once you've seen you just hit your 10,000 hours, right? I can't remember the guy that says it, but like you've hit your 10,000 hours of watching somebody drive a vehicle over rocks, and you can kind of at that point piece together what most vehicles will do or how they will behave.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, what they don't know is, you know, as we're driving here, a lot of people will just kind of in a Jeep, they like to look out and see their tires, which I do. But there's a lot more tires in the sense of they'll look out and watch their front tires. And where your front tires go doesn't mean your back tires are going to follow. And the problem is a lot of people don't know, this is what we teach in our class, is you don't just wheel with your front tires in mind. You've also got to wheel with the back tires in mind. And so that is where a lot of people get into trouble, where they think, well, I've got my front tire on that, I'm just good. Like, and then they'll fall in a hole and then they end up rolling their vehicle or tipping it over or something ends up happening. And so, you know, that's part of this. And I don't know, it's just, we've just been doing it for so long now. And so we have decided on our comfortability. I don't even know if that's a word, but
I'll take it. It works for me.
That we're going to basically guide these people on a 1-8 rated trail.
Okay. And so that ties into your 3 million aggregate of being a high risk business.
Absolutely. I mean, if people don't listen to you and they hit the gas when you said don't, like, they're going to run you over, or, you know, you've just got to make sure that
themselves.
You are out of the way, or hurt themselves. So there's a lot that goes into it. Well, our insurance for the year has just keeps going up. Last year we were at $9,000 for the year, and then the prior year we were, I think, $8,500 or $8,200. And it's not like me and TJ's got investors. It's just me and him. We're just trying to get out here and give a good service to people and get them on this mountain. But we also had partnered up with Twisted Jeep Rentals in order to allow people to get into a Jeep rental and bring it on this mountain. Nobody else offers that here in all of Southern Utah.
So. No, I think I've looked, and most people are, you can rent a Jeep. Do not take it to Sand Hollow. Take a side-by-side if you're going to go to Sand Hollow, because the rentals I've seen here are, and this is not thoroughly researched, this is just what I've seen, is they do like a Jeep rental or a side-by-side rental, and they're like, okay, you want to do Jeeps, go to Torkoville Falls. You want to do side-by-sides, then you can go to Sand Hollow.
Yeah, and it's totally exactly like that. In fact, you know, we talked with Southern Utah Adventure Center, which we're hoping to partner here with shortly. And yes, they do. They do have Jeeps. They do rent Jeeps, but they are not allowed on this mountain. And believe it or not, they have told them they are not even allowed to come through the fee station gate, because what ended up happening is people would end up coming out here with their Jeeps. And they were like, oh, we can just go through the tunnel really quick and just go see what it's like. And then
then it's a drug.
Right. And then they find their Jeeps rolled or destroyed. So that's another thing too. So it's just hard with that. Now, keep in mind, the reason we can rent Jeeps out here, because they are guided only. Now,
okay.
They can't just free reign rent these Jeeps. And the reason why is, keep in mind, this is BLM property and SITLA property. So I don't know if anybody knows this, but Moab, every single trail in Moab basically is a county road. So what that means is, if they roll their Jeep and they take it out and free reign rent that Jeep and they destroy it, guess what? It's a county road. No problem. Like, insurance will cover it so much differently. And so that's why our rentals are insured as a guided rental only. Because we're going to have less of those problems. So.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm actually really excited to hear that. And I'm really interested. Like, we'll talk after this for sure.
Yeah.
I'm very curious about your off-road class.
Okay.
And I'm also, you know, you talk about insurance, you talk about stuff going up. For me, from my perspective, my little happy carve out for doing this trail talk thing is, I'm curious to know how you think side-by-sides are affecting that. And Phil, we're on another super technical obstacle, so we can answer after if you want.
This one's not super hard for me. This one's pretty easy. Sorry, can you kind of repeat that for me?
Yeah, I'm curious for, I guess there's a perception that due to side-by-sides and the introduction of side-by-sides, it seems like Jeepers, or I'm trying to say this in a diplomatic way, it feels like there's a feeling that side-by-sides are the bane of all off-road existence. getting things closed, being, you know, rowdy on trails, just kind of tarnishing the off-road image, if you will. And I've talked to a bunch of Jeep people, and everyone I've talked to, that has not been the case, but that it still seems like there's that perception in my mind, and maybe that's just me, of they are kind of looked at as like, well, you're just in a souped up golf cart, and we really wish you guys weren't here, because you're kind of making it hard for the rest of us who are doing our part off-road, even though everybody I wheel with in a side-by-side feels the same way that everybody I've been with in Jeeps feels.
Huh. Okay, well,
have you not encountered that?
We have been... You know, we started this, I feel like we started, side-by-sides kind of are a newer to the off-road community.
Yeah.
I don't feel like side-by-sides have always been, I don't feel like they've always been in the off-road community. I feel like they've been here for a long time, but
right.
I feel like off-roading in general has been kind of with like a machine, like a Jeep or like a full bodied rig or a buggy. It kind of came into the picture sooner. I kind of feel like there's just side by sides. I think it's knowledge, and I don't think, or lack thereof. I don't think that side by sides, nor Jeeps, nor full bodied rigs or buggies. I think that they're all very different machines. And I think that one is meant to do they side by sides. A lot of people, and I get this too. I feel like side by sides, a lot of people like to make, like they go fast. Like a lot of them go fast, right? Some of them, they're trying to make them now where they can, you know, more rock crawl and be super more capable off road, which is awesome. But I think it's just lack of knowledge. Now, when we started this, I'll be honest with you, in Moab, we were always taught a certain way. And that's, I mean, we went to every Easter safari since TJ was little. And then when I got married to him, I have never missed one, including the COVID one that was canceled, to be honest. And don't judge me on that. I have the shirt. So, but we were always taught that you watch for the person in, behind you, and you stop if they're not back there, and you watch over, you know, whether that was a side by side or a buggy or whatever, because you don't know what's going to happen. Now, we were just taught those manners. That's just trail etiquette. Like, as far as like telling people, sorry, 1 second. This is a big, big ledge. You're all
good. Yeehaw.
That's a big, big ledge. Okay. So, you know, we were always taught the manners of trail etiquette. You put your hands up to tell how many people are coming and all of that stuff. And so I don't know if that maybe just wasn't when the side-by-sides came into play, because I think a lot of people thought that because they went fast, they maybe weren't going to be on the trails that we were on. But I don't think, I mean, you have those people, I think, no matter what. It's the personality of the person. And I don't think it's specific to any type of vehicle at all.
Yeah.
I think it's just lack of knowledge, or the people that have maybe started this many, many, many years ago, they have that knowledge. And so they've decided to put that into practice of everyday rock crawling and everyday trailing.
Well, I think that that's accurate. I think that in the Jeep world, and again, I know that there's a ledge off the left side. If you need me to be quiet and let you talk, that's totally fine. Or let you drive. That's totally fine. Yeah, we'll just get up. For those listening, we are kind of between a little drop-off and a large drop-off at this part of the trail. So we're going to make sure we get across this safely before.
It's kind of like a razorback. So you have like about a 10-foot drop on one side, and then you've got whatever drop-off on his side. So it's, yeah, you kind of
It's not bad. It's only...
It's not horrible.
Three feet on my side, but...
I think for someone else being new to the trail, they'd be like, what? But yeah, we're just going to tip my way quite a bit here for a second.
Yeah, this is where that whole like lower seating position in the Razor feels a lot better. I don't know why. It's the same trail. I feel more planted when I'm like a foot and a half lower.
Lower. It's a lower center of cog, right?
Yeah, the L cog's better in the Razor.
So true. So true. It feels a little different. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's a perception that people have gained, and where the side-by-sides, they go faster, they have, because that's kind of what they started out doing, was those side-by-sides, I feel like, were kind of started out being like a faster machine.
Yep.
And so you have a shorter time to react. And so I think a lot of the time too, like people will get that perception that they're like, gosh, they're just flying past me, and really like they're just having fun, and lack of knowledge, and you know, for me, I'm like, man, I'm not going to go flying past somebody, and there are other side-by-sides that don't either. They understand that you don't just fly past somebody and kind of roost them, but there are those people out there, whether you're in a Jeep, you're in a buggy, you're in a side-by-side. So I think it's because they're faster, they were kind of meant to be faster machines. You have a really people are just out there having fun, and I think they get so having so much fun sometimes they forget, so that always might be something too.
How long have you guys been teaching this off-road course? And then the follow-up question is that is it mostly Jeep people that come into the off-road course? Have you seen an uptick in people in side-by-sides trying to be like, okay, well, I need to figure out how to do this right?
You know, our off-road thing, we actually started, how that all got started is we, a place called Five Mile Pass.
Yep.
In, what was it, in, like just out by Bluffdale, kind of, way out past like Utah Lake.
Out past Lehigh, yep. I actually grew up in American Fork, so Five Mile Pass is where I started off-roading.
Yeah, so with that class, we actually, we had people come out the Five Mile Pass with us, and people would come out and they'd be like, hey, this is my build, and we'd put something on Facebook and be like, hey, we're just going to go out and will anybody want to go?
Yep.
And they're like, oh yeah, I want to go, I've never been. And we're like, okay, well, if you've never been, like, what's your build? Have you ever driven before? Like, we want to know who we're taking out there, because if they get out there in a, you know, like the wrong type of vehicle, we don't want to put them in a bad spot. And so when we started doing that, TJ's kind of just a natural teacher when it comes to off-road. And we have a passion for showing people, like, because there's no, I don't know if there's a right or wrong way, but we have a passion for showing people the way that's worked best for us over the past, what, 20 years? Mm-hmm. And so we also have been asked to not just now train, you know, regular size vehicles, Broncos, Jeeps, whatever. We've even had somebody with Atlases that didn't know how to use it.
What's Atlas, I thought you were talking about the different Atlas type of vehicle.
Yeah.
You're talking the twin stack. Okay.
Yeah, like a twin stick. Yep, totally. So we've had, like, he came out with his old Bronco and had a twin stick, and he's like, hey, can I put this in four low while I have this in high? And we're like, don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to blow it up. So we have people with all sorts of different things, but we, when we moved here and started our off-road class, we did, before I say that, we did an off-road class in Salt Lake for free, basically.
Okay.
And, basically we had people come out and they were like, man, this is really cool. Like, this is like boot camp for like off-roading. I know, like, I can go out now and I can literally feel like I can go hang out with people on a trail. And I know, like, I know how I can avoid rolling my vehicle over. I know, like, what I can do. So after that, they were like, I don't know why you guys don't do this as a business. And we're like, well, there's a lot involved and blah, blah, blah. And obviously one thing led to another. We're like, should we do this as a business? And then Sand Hollow told, you know, we were out at, it was Little Moab is where we did it, to be honest. And then after that, we basically, sorry, one sec.
No, you're good. This is another one of those, this trail has like three spots that I.
It's kind of weird.
It's kind of weird. And it's, this one, I feel like it's gotten easier. For those listening, we're kind of just down from the ledges, down from the chute. For whatever reason, I feel like there's more sand in the bottom now, but yeah. But when I first came through, it used to feel like you're just going to the driver's side. That, the little razorback part we came up, and then this next little climb, it's like three ledges up. Those are the three parts where I'm always a little,
You know, that big wall is probably the easiest part on here for me, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but you got a lot of clearance on the breakover angle. I don't. It's like
you're not wrong, belly drag you're
central. Yep.
So the side-by-side thing started when we got down here. We actually, we said we train from side-by-sides all the way to a buggy, if you want. Because if you think about it, people, they will go out and buy a buggy and they don't know how to operate it. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so same goes for a side-by-side. And so we have been reached out. In fact, our first side-by-side training was a company by the name of Earth Optics, and they do soil surveying. Let me explain that. This is crazy.
Oh, okay. So you've got like corporate clients that are like,
yes.
Ah, okay. Tell me, this is interesting.
Yes. So Earth Optics is a soil surveying company, and I'm sorry, I'm so off camber here. Just hang on.
No, you're fine. Right. I'm just over here hanging on for dear life.
So we had Earth Optics, and they still bring all of their side by side. So they're these little, I don't even know, like TJ would probably be able to answer what they look like. They're not your typical like race side-by-side.
No, they're probably more of a UTV, like a general or something.
Yes, totally. So they have, it was no pressure. Let me tell you, it was hilarious because they were like, hey, can you train our people? We have like these sonars on the front and it's like it's a 2x4. Basically it's kind of set up like this, but they're a light. It's a sonar light and it's 6 feet long and it sits about 2 feet off the ground. And basically they have to manage to avoid hitting it in the Colorado Rockies while they take soil samples on a place with no roads. These people are getting
so
hurt.
So stumps and things like that, reaching up and just grabbing it if it's mounted on the bumper.
Yep. So they had to manage not only to avoid it, because it was like a $50,000, each one of those little sonar lights are $50,000. And so like, we've been told to have you guys train these guys. And we're like, oh, no pressure. Like, each one of those things are 50 grand, you know?
Like, hey, congrats. Your little bar on the front costs two times what this machine costs. Just no pressure at all.
No pressure. So we basically brought him out here and trained the first guy. And that, it's kind of crazy, because that guy that came out and trained with us, sorry, one second, this is kind of a climb.
You're good. Yeah, for
Backer
me,
up.
This one's totally doable. It's the one TJ's sitting at right now.
Oh, no, that one's easy.
It's okay, but it's try it on 32-inch tires.
Yes, 32
and 16 inches of ground
different.
Clearance, and then we'll talk.
So I'm referring, I guess, to this vehicle.
Yeah, there's such different dynamics between the vehicles. It's crazy.
So I think that's another thing too. When we train those side by sides, we need to let them know there's ways to avoid for approach angles. These people are going through massive ditches and stuff like that. So that was our first go on training side-by-sides. And when we got the feedback from the people from Earth Optics, it was incredibly humbling. They said, I'm not even kidding. People have gotten so hurt. One guy almost died because they couldn't find him because he rolled the side-by-side.
Oh, no.
And so, I mean, he obviously got off and okay, but he was one of the guys that we trained. And I can't tell you more than anything, it was just humbling that they would call us and say, because of your class, it basically is going to save a lot of not just our machines, but all of our clients, all of our employees out there. So then after that, we had a lot more people saying, hey, can you train me in my side by side? I want to learn my side by side. And so, you know, we teach all the way from knowing what's under your vehicle, low spots, high spots. We teach from preparation to be out there with not just a bottle of water. You need to be prepared to be out there for all night, you know? So,
Royce and I played that game. Royce from Sand Hollow UTV. We did a Trail Talk episode on this trail, and we broke a ball joint right up here at the top of the ledges. And neither of us had jackets because we started at 4. And we were like, oh, that's fine, you know? And then it ends up we're broke. So we were here for, 2 or 3 hours just waiting for someone to come get us. And it got cold. So, yeah, don't just bring a bottle of water. Be ready.
Right. It's so crazy. We've just, we've seen so many things. And we've actually personally experienced so many things out in the hills where we've needed something and didn't have it. Or we ran into somebody that needed something and didn't have it. And so our survival bag is built. I actually have a survival bag in here now, and it's built on years and years and years and years of just experiences of what we had or what we needed and didn't have. So there's that, you know?
Yeah.
But.
So you see, it sounds to me like you've seen an uptick in people that come out for the side-by-side trainings or for the trainings for the side-by-side.
Yes.
Do you guys have side-by-sides, or is it just you just kind of know it from seeing it?
So this is funny. So Earth Optics, this is hilarious. So Earth Optics brought down side-by-sides so we could just basically have a side-by-side for a month or two.
Oh, there you go.
And ran around in one of the side-by-sides to get comfortable with it. So they work differently in a sense of, you know what I mean? They work differently. So in a side-by-side, and I don't know if yours runs like this because I don't know if they all run like this, but what we have found... I've never gotten stuck on this. But what we have found mainly is the fact that... Give me a second.
There you go. A little bump.
So, is when you let off the gas on a side-by-side, it goes into neutral.
Yeah.
It doesn't... Yeah, it's not like it's going to roll back, but it holds you. I guess it would roll back in a certain circumstance if you're on stuff, but it's not like...
There's no torque converter with the engine sitting you putting pressure against gear.
No,
the other thing is they drive like a manual with the way the clutch engages.
Totally.
It's interesting, and it's it's fun to watch people figure it out because there's no clutch pedal, but you have to work the gas as if you have an auto clutch.
Right, totally. So we had the opportunity to kind of work with a side by side, and then obviously when Earth Optics came, we had like kind of pushed them to their limits a little bit. And so yeah, they're just super thankful for that. But kind of going back to, you know, our guided tours too, we started the guided tours, and it's kind of fun because we not just guide people in their own rigs, we do ride along. So people are just like you sitting in that seat and they're like, holy crap, I've never been on this and I wanted an adrenaline rush. And they come from Dubai where they do camels. Like you jump on a camel tour, not like a, you know what yeah. I mean? And they're getting in these and going, are you kidding me? That's a road? And so it's pretty interesting to see, like, we just meet so many neat people, and we're excited to be able to provide that service. Something we struggle with here a little bit, it's kind of different in the sense that a lot of people will take people out for free out here, and there's nothing wrong with that. But for us as a business, we are struggling with that a little bit. Because, you know, if people can take you out for free, why would you go pay somebody?
Yeah, no, I can understand that for sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of something that we're kind of trying to work, I guess, around a little. I don't know if it's work around or just trying to figure out creating value to what we do. And that's, you know, we bring these rugged radios, and so we spot them directly to them. We also kind of teach them a little bit as they go. If they're being spotted by us on a trail, like they've chosen to go, let's say Westrum, and they just wanted to do something fun and not super challenging, but wanted to try something a little bit outside of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And so we'll do that. But the difference in us is we are licensed, we're insured. You know, we've got our permits. We are first aid CPR certified. You know, we kind of got all legalities in place, and not only that, but we feed you out here. You don't have to worry about how much water to bring or how much food to bring. Like,
but you do have to worry about it for when you go on your own. You have to learn,
right, please,
but not worry,
please,
about it.
Yes. When you come with us, it's part of it. But we also have created something where we do videos and photos, and that's also part of something that's included. You know, I get out and I make sure we get videos and photos of you actually coming out here to this amazing country to see it and to have memories to go home with. And so we send those over to you. And so we're trying to create that value for our tour. So it's not just coming out here and taking you out for free, not really getting anything out of it to go home other than, you know, you don't, when you're going out with some of these people that take you out for free, and I'm not saying that they're not awesome because they are, but you just, it's a different feel mm-hmm. when you're out there. It's definitely a different feel. We're making sure that on every obstacle, you know, every line that you're supposed to be on for your vehicle, you're just getting very detailed and in-depth instruction on a guide with us. It's just very different feel.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. I mean, like I say, being a local, you probably know this as well.
Yeah.
There is a lot of extremely capable people here. But we also get a lot of people that are, I mean, as evidenced by the amount of times I've seen Life Flight come over my house.
Yes.
There is also some very incapable people out here as well.
Right. Totally.
And making sure you get the right person is really important, especially somewhere out here. I get it. We're not. I used to. Just some backstory. I used to carry a tire. I used to carry a bunch of everything. Like, I need to make sure that I can get, you know, back all on my own.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore because Sand Hollow is such a compact area in reality. It's not that big
right.
of an open and dispersed area. But
right.
that's the risk that I take
yes.
knowing that I can call a Rob or I can call Miguel. I can call somebody and just be like, hey, I need you to come get me, dude. I'll just hold tight
right.
for an hour.
Totally.
If you're out here on a tour with somebody or, you know, just driving around and you're like, well, I just need to, I want to see as much of this as I can. That can really like hamper your experience to be
oh,
like,
yeah.
crap, well, we're just sitting here for an hour. And it's not like you're just me. It's just like, well, cool. I'm going to go take out my RC crawler and just wait for somebody, you know? And so it's important to be with someone who can get you up and going quick. Or
right.
or in a reasonable amount of time. And also for the safety side of things, I will say I've been not involved, but I was with a group of people that had a really bad accident out here. Guy split his head open, ended up getting life flighted out. One of the things that stuck with me from that experience is that when we called SAR, when we called 911, whoever they decided to send, they attempted to send the paramedics up that sand mountain, up the main drag, in a Hummer with all their gear, five dudes in it, and tires at like 40 PSI. There's something to be said for being able to respond to a medical emergency and also being capable of getting there and getting out. Because amen. That to me was something that I was like, that, like, I stopped. We were on our way down trying to go find these guys. It's like, oh, the Hummer should be there. The Hummer should be there. It should be there. Right. Well, it turns out they were sliding off halfway into Nasty Half.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, so this isn't going to work. You guys are going to need to send a helicopter, or these guys have to get out of this Jeep or out of this Hummer and let somebody else drive it. Because right. you might be the best medical person in the world, but unless you can combine that with the ability to actually navigate this terrain,
yeah.
it's a problem.
Totally.
And so
totally.
Having, like you say, being CPR certified, I get it. It's, you're not like a full EMT, but I bet you could get here before EMTs could, based on what I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it, I think it's something to be said with being able to navigate the terrain and safely, but also, you know, quickly to be able to answer those, you know, those urgent situations.
But that goes to you guys being out here with people is you can also get down safely if it need be. Yeah. I'm just saying it pays to have some expertise in all aspects rather than 100%. Like your buddies that you might ride with out here. If it's your first time, they might be perfectly fine and they might not. But
right. You
could always come to someone who's licensed and insured.
Right.
And will have those qualifications if that's more important.
Yeah, totally. I think there's something to be said about that. We also carry everything we think that we could possibly need. So we carry a mobile welder. Like, we're basically a mobile mechanic shop. So if something happens in the event, which we haven't had happen to anybody else's vehicle out here where their vehicle has broken, but we basically are a mobile mechanic shop out here, and we are getting them off this mountain if they break. They're not going to be calling Matt's Off-Road, although Matt's Off-Road, amazing service, what he provides. We want to make sure that we are doing everything in our power to create a good experience and to create them a safe space where they can come and take a guided tour and know that they're going to be good.
Yeah.
So
you can come out with guys like these guys in front of us in the side-by-sides that every time I come up here to this shoot in a side-by-side, we're not as wide as you guys on full width.
Right. So true.
And I don't know if you saw what he just did there. Everybody
he
in the side by side.
Really?
Well, that and this lower part, the chute, you have to stay hard passenger in a side by side. They're too narrow, and you will drop the passenger side in every time.
Totally.
If you're not with someone that can convey that to you,
yeah,
you'll do what he did, and you'll fall in twice, and then you'll eventually make it, and maybe that's a better story. I don't know. That's so cool.
That works. Nice job, TJ. So, yeah. So, about our whole house thing, I don't know if anybody knows this, but, you know, we came down here, and I told my husband when we bought this house, I said, you know, if the casita doesn't rent, if things go bad, I'm not emotionally attached. I'm, you know, it's stuff. And I came down here to do one thing, and that was to create me and my husband's dream to be down here and create this awesome service for people to come out here and mm-hmm. know that they're safe to be out here on the drill. So that's basically what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that in mind, you know, we're having to sell our home, but that's okay. Like, I'm good with that.
Oh, and I was unaware of that.
Yeah, we're selling our home. All right, get on the line here.
Okay, we're going up the chute, so this is, again, probably going to be a little bit more driving than talking.
We've done the roller coaster only a few thousand times. AKA the chute.
Oh man, the only other vehicle I've been up this in besides a side by side is a Bronco.
Yeah.
And they both feel bad.
They both feel bad.
That actually wasn't so bad. I think I'm getting used to it by the end of this.
We've had some kids on a ride along. They said, I said, how many times do you want to do it? One, five, 10 times? And they're like, so can I pick 10? I'm like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome. So.
No, that was excellent. That just crawled right up it.
We've just done it a few times. But yeah, so we are selling our home. You know, TJ did, the hard thing about this is TJ got taken on to do some SEMA builds for a young gentleman. Very nice guy. Things just didn't work out for him. And TJ had to walk away without, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of overtime that we never received. And so, you know, that also put us in a bad spot. And so we ended up having to live on credit cards again. And, you know, so it was just, what do you do? Like, what do you do at that point?
Life comes at you fast. That's just what it is.
So, you know, at that point, you live on credit cards and then you go find another job with somebody else. And he's got a good job right now working for another glass company. But again, he's answering to somebody and he's got a bad back. I don't want him to do this for the rest of his life. I want him to do what he loves. And I love it too. And I'm kind of his wingman when it comes to being out here. Like, I do all the videos and I try and spot and help when I can. And, you know, if there's any ever time, you know, I can help doing other stuff. I do the videos and the pictures and the photos of people. I do all our social media. I have a YouTube channel, which we started out and it wasn't this, and it's now redirected to other stuff. But I don't feel like, oh man, what was that? I don't feel like
you just cut a little sidewall.
Like a little sidewall. But at first when we got down here, it was hard because I was haggled. I was called at about 9:30 at night from a lady that, I'm not going to say any names, but I was haggled. I was called at about 9:30 at night and she basically told us that we needed to take the videos down of us starting a business out here and I needed to delete my YouTube and just, we got very hassled. I did not feel welcome when I got here. So because of, they knew the type of business we were starting down here. And for whatever reason, I feel like as we move down here, I feel like as we have gotten to know some more people, you know, we have so much support compared to when we very first got here. And
yeah, I was going to say, that's very,
I
was actually kind of surprised to hear that because
yeah.
Even me being a dirty side-by-side driver, we've had nothing but good support from like everybody. Yeah. And I mean, obviously we're not trying to start a business. I understand
that
introduces a whole new level of,
you know, different
issues, but yeah. I feel like the off-road community down here has been nothing but supportive.
Yeah. And at first, like I said, I think it was more along the lines, a lot of people, we were told a lot of people wanted to come, they wanted to do what we are doing.
Right.
And a lot of people just weren't able to get or have the means to get the insurance, to do the legalities of all of it. And I think that's something to be said about that. A lot of, you know, I don't know if I should even say anything. It's just, I think that whole part, I feel like those people felt like we were kind of taking that from them.
Yeah.
And that's not why we're here. I feel like there's plenty for everybody. And in fact, we welcome other ones that are going to start doing what we're going to do, that we do, because we should all be supporting each other that are out here trying to do it legally and spending the money and having the means to do it the correct way. I really think it's a big deal. Like I said, it's been a rough go for us up here. It's been a journey that I can only tell someone else if they were to do it, to just make sure that you are prepared for a long, tough journey. It's been a long, tough journey. We're buying our house and 2 years later, we're selling our house to just make it go. It's been hard. There's no other word for it. Like this has been the biggest test of my life right here. Just moving down here and doing this business. It has tested everything I've ever had in my entire life. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Believe it 100%.
Yeah. So well, anyways.
Yeah. Well, we're up here at the top of the trail.
Woo!
If you guys want to ever come out and do something like this with someone like we talked about, being totally licensed, insured, and ready to go, as someone who has now officially ran a trail with you guys, I can say that there wasn't even a moment of hiccup. Like, it was awesome. So just super smooth all the way through everything. I got a little scared. That's fine. That's on me. If you guys want to check that out, come check out Sand Hollow 4x4. Anything else you guys, people should pay attention to, follow, where to get in contact with you?
Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate it. And you guys, again, this is Abe with Red Sand Adventures. Go follow him on Instagram. He's absolutely incredible to do this and support us in doing what we're doing. So thank you. But yeah, if you guys want to get in touch with us, please reach out to us on, you can just call me. Our phone number is 801-759-7995, or you can jump on our website at www.sandhollow4x4.com. Or you can jump on Instagram. We also have tons of information there where you can contact us or message us, which is at Sandhollow4x4. We also have a Facebook page, which is also at Sandhollow4x4. So one thing we do, if you guys are interested in running a free run with us each year, we do a cancer awareness run, and that is just barely after Trail Hero every year. So
awesome. Okay, well, thanks for coming out. Thanks for letting me ride around in this monster truck. It was super tall. But we'll catch you guys on the next one.